Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Hey, it's Vince the Bookie.
Hey!
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 Hey.
How you doing?
What's happening, guys?
Hey.
Yeah. Let's talk about Black Sunday. And
all
then,
right.
And then we're going to talk about some side bets.
All right. So what do you want to know about Black Sunday? When it was?
Why do you call it Black Sunday?
Yeah, why?
Vegas actually calls it Black Sunday. There's two Black Sundays for me. There's the real Black Sunday in 1979, and then there's the Black Sunday that occurred in 2001 when the Patriots won the Super Bowl. So which one would you like to hear about?
The one that affected you.
All right. So again, 2001 Super Bowl, Patriots-Rams. Patriots are significant underdogs, 14-point underdogs. No chance of winning that game. The consensus was that, you know, the best team in football was the Rams. So around here in New England, like, you can't win when it comes to the Patriots because people just bet with their hearts. So in addition to everybody just pounding the Patriots and betting them plus 14 points, people bet them on the money line, meaning they think they're going to win the Super Bowl outright. The point spread doesn't even play in. But what happens is you establish a money line, and at that point it started off at 8-1, and it went all the way down to 5-1, meaning that Vegas was taking in so much money on the Patriots that they continued to lower the line. But around here, local bookies, you know, we're stuck because nobody bets the other side. Everybody bets the Patriots. So I was actually in a hotel with two other bookmakers. We read that we're in room 2112 for the classic Rush fans, right?
Nice.
And that was with two other bookies, and we had halftime entertainment. We had everything going on. And as soon as that field goal went through the uprights, all three of our phones rang, and it was all of our wives calling us because we all said the same thing. When we leave the house, we said, if the Patriots win, we're not coming home. To put it into perspective, it took away the majority of our winnings for that year in one kick.
One
single kick.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
How much did you lose?
I personally lost $41,000, but I also, you know, I edged, and the two guys I was with lost $91,000. I mean, collectively, three of us lost $132,000. We beat our offices for probably another $100,000. It was awful.
Yep. Eat that wing slowly. Enjoy every bite. May not be a while before you have another one.
Yeah, it wasn't a good day.
It didn't taste good after that, did it? No.
How did all this start? So what you do is illegal.
Completely. Until, you know, the state that I reside in decides to legalize it, which they're all doing now. New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. I'm assuming eventually Connecticut. I mean, if you can make money at something, the state is going to take it over.
Right.
That,
of course,
you know,
they want the
weed,
tax revenue. How will,
yeah, weed,
how,
gambling, whatever, you know.
How will that affect you? Will you still do what you do but have to pay taxes?
This has been discussed over many cappuccinos, okay?
Right.
The theory is that these people that bet are mostly degenerates, and they want to hide it from their significant other, their wives. I've had people call me from closets, you know, in their cellar, in their cars. And, you know, back in the old days with the landline, before there was apps and the internet. But, you know, I think there's tax implications there. There's a paper trail that you won't be able to hide from your wife. You have to front the money. I mean, I have guys who will bet 3, 4, 5 pieces at $2,000 a pop. That's 10 or 11 grand they got to come up with. Nobody wants to walk up to a window and hand anybody $11,000. They'd rather just go online, place their wages, see how it all plays out, and then meet their local guy on the corner and, you know, put the money back into the local economy.
And this right. money to yeah. local economy.
Yeah, little guy.
That's my opinion. I mean, you don't want to have to come up with money if you don't have to, right?
So you're saying you're going to be good because there's just this there's a culture of people who will not go to a window with a bag of money.
Correct. And you know, a friend of mine who does the same thing, you know, he says, you know, become more acceptable. People will be talking about gambling and wins and losses, and then maybe they turn to their friend at the water cooler and say, hey, I got a guy. If you don't want to, you know, go online and let your wife know what's going on, or, you know, whatever. So maybe it'll generate more business.
Who knows?
Have you ever had someone on the phone and in the middle of the call, they get caught in the closet by their wife?
No.
Okay. No, they're good. They're professionals.
What do you do when you have a client that doesn't pay?
I mean, you know, you try not to run into those. I mean, when I first started, I've been doing this for 30 years. So, I mean, when I was a young, you know, buck getting out there in the bar scene and just, you know, get as many guys as you could, you know, it happened once in a while. You try to be as polite to people as you can, but sometimes you can't. And they need to be influenced and you know.
Influenced,
exactly right.
Yeah. You try to be polite.
Right.
Yeah.
But some people need influence.
A bat name influence, yes.
I get you.
Yeah.
Like hanging them off a third-story porch by their
works.
Ankles.
Yeah.
Right.
I have no idea what you guys are speaking
exactly of. Exactly right.
Who's the favorite right now?
Kansas City's favored by 1.5 still.
All right. And this could change.
Yes.
The last-minute people are the people to watch, right?
I mean, people like to wait for the best line, so it really depends on who they want. So if they're waiting for San Francisco, they'll probably kind of hold off and see if it goes up to 2. And, you know, they come in at the last minute. They,
right.
They're getting all the sharp information, whatever.
Right.
Right. So the Vegas, those people, the big money comes in at the end. They wait?
Yeah, I mean, again, if they're shopping for a line, they know that it most likely will move. There's just so much money exchanged on this. So if Kansas City starts to get one-sided, they'll bump it up to 2 to try to draw that money from the other side. That's
gotcha.
Their goal.
Yesterday, we started talking about side bets, and you mentioned a Jennifer Lopez bet.
Yeah. If she shows butt cleavage or not.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
How do you bet on that? You bet yes or no? That's it?
Yeah, I mean, if she'll show butt cleavage, you can wager $100 and get back. It's $190. I think it was actually higher yesterday when I spoke to you guys.
Really?
So it looks like people are actually thinking she's going to show some butt cleavage.
So yesterday would have been the day to make that bet?
Yeah, apparently.
Damn,
there are a lot of listeners to your show.
It's right. Like buying stock.
Right.
Right?
Correct. I mean,
you're trying to buy at the right time.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, you know, information is out there. Like, they might rehearse this, and you know, somebody might have seen her doing this. Like, I there's a prop on the national anthem that back in 2011 I got destroyed on. Christina Aguilera, the over-under on her, like, national anthem was minute and 44 seconds. It went, like, 10 seconds over because she held that last note for a solid 9 or 10 seconds.
Oh, damn.
And she had rehearsed it the day before, so if people had seen that, I mean, they knew, and I'll be honest with you, I lost about $6,000 on that prop.
Damn.
Yep. Yeah.
What's the national anthem bet this year?
So it's 124.5 seconds. So what is that? 2 minutes and 4.5 seconds, over or under.
What does that mean?
So from the opening note to the very last note that she sings.
Yeah.
The length of the national anthem will go 2 minutes and 4 seconds and a half. You can bet over or under that.
Oh, so it'll either be under that or over that.
Correct. It's, you know, do you think it's going to go long or if it's going to be a little bit shorter rendition?
Now, this is just her voice, not the music.
Correct. It's from her, and that's spelled out in the prop. It's from the singing the first note until the very last note. You got to be specific.
It's got to be over 124 seconds. I'm going to go. How much is that bet?
Well, see, that's the thing. Now, there's odds on this. So if you want to bet over, you have to wager 150 to win 100. But if you want to bet under, you wager 100 to win 110.
Oh,
do you see how Vegas makes their money?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why I don't do this.
And
one, it's math.
Right.
And two,
what
people
with
lose.
Radio guys.
Yeah, really. Yeah. We don't make a lot of money, so.
I think Vince just complimented us. I'm not sure. What's that, Phil?
Well, there's a whole lot of research on this online. So if you just type in what's the average national anthem time for the Super Bowl, it pops right up. So the average for everybody who's ever sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl is a minute 55 seconds. That's the average.
That's short.
And Christina Aguilera did it a minute 54, and she botched it. Like, she omitted a line. It was just, it was a nightmare. There was a lot of controversy.
Maybe she had a bet also.
I always thought those were pre-recorded, and then they would lip sync. Now, they're actually live.
Yeah, they're live.
Whitney Houston was live.
That was not live.
That was recorded.
No way.
Way.
Well documented.
Fooled me.
See?
Hard to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Are there odds on this one of fooling Ashley?
All right. Do we want to take the national anthem bet?
Let's do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we're all going to chip in.
Yeah.
Ashley shaking her head no. Of course.
Hell no.
Not goody two-shoes over here.
No way.
All right. So it's $150.
Right.
So there's four of us.
Can you divide that?
Do you need help?
Yes. Yeah,
please. It's $37.50 each.
All right. We're in.
I don't know. I got to buy spin dip recipe. You know, I got stuff I got to make this weekend.
Go shop at Walmart.
Kids will show up at the comedy night. I'm here to collect my money.
I'm breaking fingers.
Well, right. Who's actually placing the wages? So if I need to send
Chaz.
Some influence.
Chaz.
I only know him from the billboard, so I'll let them know.
Henry out front. There's a Vince here to see you.
Right.
Also, tell him I'm not here.
Right.
I'm going out the back door.
Besides this.
It won't be me, I promise you. That will never happen.
Also, a Tony and a Rocco.
Right. He has associates.
Right. Yeah. I have this guy.
This is beautiful.
I have this guy over here.
All right, so we're going to take the bet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, are we doing the over or the under?
I'm placing the bet, so I'll be responsible for the money, but you suckers are going to pay, or I'll have people visit you.
Okay.
IRS. Well, hold on. Are we taking the over or the under?
Well, Jennifer? We could discuss that right now really quickly.
Okay.
But it's 124 and a half seconds.
Right.
Do we think that's going to go over? Or is it going to be under? I think it's going to be over.
I don't.
I think over, yeah.
Really? You think it'll be less than 124 seconds?
I do.
When was the last time it was under 124 seconds?
Because Google said so. That's why.
I don't know.
What does Google say?
I don't know, but don't forget, she hasn't like been performing for a long time.
You just read what the average was.
The average is a minute 55,
Who's singing it?
Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato?
She hasn't been performing a lot recently. I feel like she's going to be nervous and rush this.
She just performed at the Grammys.
I think she'll go long.
So Kelly Clarkson did the shortest one at 1:34, and Alicia Keys did the longest one at 2:35. I mean, there's a lot of variables in there.
Yeah. So what are you thinking, Chaz?
I think it's going to be over 124 seconds.
I think over, yeah.
Generally, the national anthem is 2.5 minutes, so right. they clearly shorten it for Super Bowl.
Right, well, all the advertising.
To be clear, I don't want no misinformation here. Chaz has got over 124 and a half seconds for $1,000, did you say, Chaz?
No, 150.
All right.
What would I win if I bet $1,000 on that?
Well, you'd have to wager $1,500 to win the 1,000.
To win 1,000.
Right.
Yeah, so that's how that works. If you wager just $1,000, you'd win $666.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, I can do the 37.50 chess, but I play lotteries.
All right, we're gonna do the 150.
All right, you got it.
$150, and are we all in agreement here?
Be over, yeah.
No, but fine.
All right, Phil's out. Okay,
all right, Phil's out. Let me read this back.
Our chipping in is gonna go higher. Right, so now it's gonna be three way. So it's gonna be $50
each. Wait, we need three way.
Ashley, you're in for $50.
Vince, you're killing me.
$50.
All right, so over 124 and a half, 150 to win $100.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Place it.
You guys are in.
All right, thank you. All right, what are some of these other prop bets? The J-Lo butt crack, how's that one going now? You're saying that people are believing that we're going to see butt crack cleavage.
Correct.
Okay. How do you determine it, though? Who officially determines those butt crack?
That's a great question. Is this like behind-the-scenes footage or just what's on the broadcast?
It has to be on the broadcast.
No, just on the broadcast. I think it's just what's on the broadcast. It's as if you're viewing it from home as a gambler. So it says plumber crack or reverse butt cleavage will count as a yes. So I think Ashley said it best. Like, she's going to have those shorts that are kind of pulled way up, kind of like Daisy Dukes or whatever.
Yeah, little cheeks underneath.
Yeah, reverse
yeah.
butt cleavage.
Oh.
Yeah, because crack ain't going to happen.
And then, I mean, if she bends over, chances are she's going to show plumber crack, too. So I guess, you know, it looks like a pretty good bet. And the fact that it's coming down means that people are betting it, so.
Yeah. Her yeah. breasts are strong bets. She loves to,
yes.
you know.
Yeah.
She the breasts are the best.
But J-Lo's all about her butt, though.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I mean, she's 50, guys.
She's amazing.
But she's a fine 50.
Fine.
Without a doubt.
A pampered, that's a fine 50.
A pampered
that's
50. A, that's you know, a good hard way.
That's like a car that's been, well, it's been driven a lot, but.
It's a survivor.
It's well maintained.
It's a survivor. It's been around the block a couple times.
All right, so that's an interesting bet. What else are people betting on? The color of the Gatorade?
Yeah, so I have a theory on that. It's, you know, who do you think's going to win? I think there's probably different color Gatorades on each sideline, but they you can never see it. They never show it.
Oh.
And, you know, so, you know, if the Patriots were playing, the Gatorade would typically be, you know, red or blue.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you know, San Fran versus Kansas City, they both have red in their
right.
Uniform colors.
Yeah.
So who knows?
How do you, like, if they don't show it on screen?
They do. They show the Gatorade bath.
Okay.
You got always. So.
What's that, Phil?
All right. So I'm looking into this bet that we've made because I want to make sure we make the right
bet. Are you in?
The last five times that Demi Lovato has sung the national anthem, the average of those lengths of the national anthem is a minute 56.
See that?
The longest she went is 2 minutes, 11 seconds. That was the only time she was
then
over.
Then I'm right.
Yeah.
The bet over 124 seconds.
Right.
Which is 2 minutes and 4 seconds.
Right.
So the longest she set. Has sang is 2:06.
That was the longest she ever went was 2 minutes 11 seconds. Everything else has been under 2 minutes.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Yep.
Is it too late to change our bet?
Yeah, we already said it.
Yeah, it's going to cost you though. You got to buy it back.
You got to buy it back.
All wages are final.
Son of a!
It's already entered in the system.
Wait a minute!
Just keep your fingers crossed.
Scratch it out on your pad.
This is the problem, and this is what we're up against on our end. There used to be no information before the internet, so
right.
It was like printing money. But now we get this guy Googling, you know, Demi Lovato.
Right?
Even Vince the bookie hates being fact checked.
Right.
Right. I mean, was that pre or post OD? I mean, didn't she just get out of the hospital?
Yeah,
like,
she did.
I think she has something to prove, right?
I think so too.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good. See what he's doing?
Yeah.
See what he's doing?
He's giving us confidence.
I think she's going to be nervous. I think she's going to rush it. That was my gut instinct.
She just sang at the awards show.
That's not the national anthem live at the Super Bowl, AJ.
Yeah, but there's still pressure.
Absolutely. This thing has been flubbed. This has been flubbed so many times.
I got faith in
her. How, is it too late to change the bet?
Really?
No, go ahead. What do you guys want?
All right, before we place our final bet with Vince the Bookie for the Super Bowl,
sure.
I want to check in with Caitlin Francis, Channel 3, who's outside the hospital where Photostoulis is. Any news there?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yes, so we don't have any kind of actual update. We know he's still in critical condition here inside Jacoby Medical Center in the Bronx. Norm Pattis, Fotis's defense attorney, is expected to be here a little bit later this morning. Doulos's family actually flew in from Greece sometime last night. We know that they landed from that flight, and they are also expected to be here at the hospital a little later this morning as well. Now, in terms of a timeline, when we are expecting an update from either Norm Pattis or Doulos' family, that's still up in the air. We're not sure if we're going to get that update today or tomorrow, but you know, we're assuming that Pattis will eventually give us all a briefing on Doulos' condition here. He's being treated in the hyperbaric chamber, which is why he was life-starred here to the Bronx at Jacoby Medical Center for that treatment after his attempted suicide on Tuesday with carbon monoxide poisoning.
All right, Caitlin, thank you. And by
the way,
we were at the memorial service for Denise yesterday. It was very impactful.
It was beautiful, right?
It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
All right, thank you, Caitlin. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
Caitlin Francis, Channel 3. And I just got a text from Norm. He's going to come on at 7.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
We'll check in with him, and then we're going to check in with the promoter, the creator of Boston Calling.
So, yes.
Big break at 7. Vince the Bookie is on right now. He's dealing with
three idiots.
Four.
Well, one keeps bowing
Wait
out.
A minute.
So.
Yeah, Wait
well,
a minute.
We keep changing our bet here.
Yeah.
We're taking a side bet with Vince
right.
on the length of the national anthem. And the it's over under 124.5.
Seconds.
Well, I have a question. At the Grammys, she started and then stopped and had a restart. And does that count? Like, if she flubbles like that again at the Super Bowl?
So, Vegas makes rulings on that, typically if it's a complete restart, they'll probably just go from the first note. You know, it's got to be fair to everybody.
Right, so it has to be from when the song starts. So if she starts, says, wait a minute, I'm going to start again, you pick it up from start again.
Yeah, that's typically how it goes down.
Good question.
Gotcha.
All right, what do we want to do here?
For a song that's so popular, people botch it all the time. It makes no sense to me, but I guess it's nerves.
It's nerves.
Right. So I have two schools of thought here. Because of the fact that, like, they're hams and they want to sing long, that makes things long. But I'm also thinking the time crunch, all the commercials are very expensive and things are timed to the minute.
Irrelevant.
I'm thinking more on the under.
Yeah. Sorry.
More on the under. I'm so glad I talk.
Sorry. But there's two sets of numbers we have. One, what's the average that people spend singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl?
Right.
And then what's the average that she spends singing the national anthem? Which one do we want to go with?
I mean, hers is under 204. That's the number that we have to bet on, is whether it's going to be over or under that number, minutes and 4 seconds.
So what are you thinking?
So typically when she does it, she's under the... So we should bet under.
I think so. That was my first instinct.
All right, so you bet under, and if he's wrong, we throw him off the roof.
Right.
You guys went from completely over to completely under. This is just great.
Yeah, we're idiots.
Oh, wait until you get off the phone.
I mean, my head is going to explode at this point.
So is Phil if he's wrong.
This is just one bet. One!
I feel like if we lose, he's not even going to call us for the money because he doesn't even want to deal with us anymore.
What do you mean he changed occupation?
Right.
Well, the good news is you bet under, you wager 100, and you make 110, so you're actually getting some value back.
Wait, I thought we... I thought it was bet 150. Oh, yeah, okay.
For the over.
Right. Yeah,
right. So now you don't need to wager the full 150. Because
saving everyone money.
Right, so Ashley probably wants more now. Well, who's the guy that wanted nothing to do with it earlier?
Phil.
Changing the bet. Now this is my instinct. If we're going under.
Yeah, fact boy.
You should probably bet more. You should probably bet more now because you're getting value.
Right. He's very good at what he does. How long have you been doing this?
31 years.
Right.
Yeah. How old were you when you started?
The day I graduated high school. Nice. I was running, football cards in high school and just tired of handing all my money to somebody else. So
Did your yearbook say, did you say what you thought you'd want to be?
No. I don't know.
No, gave odds.
He gave odds.
Odds will succeed.
Nothing like that. Yeah, there was no over-under on my life expectancy, if that's what you're asking.
I looked up his yearbook. His senior quote is, never bet the under on Demi Lovato in the Super Bowl.
That's clever, Phil.
All right, so we're going to go under, right?
Yes.
All right, we're betting the under. Are we all in agreement?
Yes.
Ashley?
Right,
you're saying no.
You said no on the over. How can you be... You could be
not,
no on both.
I'm not a gambling kind of girl.
You being on the show is a gamble.
Right, we're betting the under, right?
Okay. All right. So how much are we betting, Chaz?
$100, right?
All right. 100 to win 110. Under 204.5. That half a second could mean everything. So you're in good shape. You could be in good shape.
I've
exactly
never stressed the national anthem before.
I mean, watch it going, don't you dare go over.
Right. All right, Vince, I know we're taking a lot of your time, but can we talk to you tomorrow? Because there's some other side bets I wanted to talk to you about.
Potentially, yes, but I need to actually fly to Florida. There's kind of a family thing going on, I just found out.
I got you, right. I got that thing I do.
All right, Vince.
It's not a busy week or anything either, guys.
No. You're not busy, are you?
People are trying to call him right
now. He's getting texts.
He's losing money. Right. All right, Vince, thanks for coming on. We're going to talk to a guy who put together a music festival, and everybody wants to put together a music festival.
Of course.
This guy put the Foo Fighters, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Rage Against the Machine all on bill.
You put a good one together, yeah.
Pretty insane.
Amazing.
Pretty insane.
Crazy.
Mike Snow is COO of Crashline Productions, co-founder of Boston Calling, 3-day music festival. Good morning.
Good morning. It sounds so serious.
It does, doesn't it?
It does sound serious.
It really does. Very serious.
Yeah. It's a big deal. But, you know?
Yeah, it's not as big as you guys finally deciding on the under with old Vince there. But yeah, we are we're pretty darn excited.
Now, can you see why we would never be able to put together a music festival?
Yeah, I mean, thank God there's outside influence that like crosses names off a whiteboard, or somebody just says I'm not touring. Because if it was left up to the three of you, I think it would take a long time.
Thank you for noticing. Yes,
I think about the amount of decisions you guys have to make putting together a festival like this with over 60 performances, 4 stages,
right?
All of this, yeah.
It won't cost any time.
We're not
soon.
The people to be on any of those committees.
No,
but you could intro a band. See, y'all have you got talent.
I would
See,
love that. That we could do.
when did you know you got the Foo Fighters, and how hard was that to get them?
Well, we've been talking to the camp for a while. You know, the offer had been out there for, 2 or 3 years. They love, you know, playing baseball stadiums. They love playing unique venues. They love playing. I'm sure you guys have seen sort of the Dave Grohl internet, and everybody's just sort of like, yeah, a sedentary Dave Grohl is not a good Dave Grohl. You know, that guy needs to keep moving and keep creating. So we had it out there for a while. Finally, the agent called and just said, hey, listen, they're ready to do this. They've had a couple of good festival experiences. And yeah, they were our first confirm. I think it was July, maybe.
How excited were you when you got that yes?
Oh, massive. Yeah. I mean, I'm a barbecue nerd for starters, and Dave is big into barbecue. I've been listening to the Foo Fighters forever. I'm 39, so I was like the pinnacle Nirvana generation super fan. I mean, the whole thing was absolutely amazing.
So I'm guessing is barbecue in his deal? Is that part of his rider? And are you going to be the person making the barbecue for him?
Their rider is amazing. It's one of the funniest and best I've ever seen. They lay out everything exactly the way that they want it. Now this is their like European tour rider. We don't have their real one, but some restaurateur style friends are like, all right, we'll just bring the pit. We'll just like set it up. And it's like, yeah, dude.
So you can cut himself. Yeah. That's cool.
Like, yeah, sure. You know, it's like everybody just thinks that, you know, my day is spent barbecuing with Dave Grohl, and it would be wonderful if that is how it's spent, but it's very far from the norm.
Gotcha.
So that, and then the Chili Peppers.
It's like Food Fest.
Yeah. How hard was that to get Chili Peppers?
That was another one. It's, you know, you talk to these agents quite a bit every year and you say, hey, you know, who's available on your roster? And, you know, they've got kind of a standard answer or whatever. And then, you know, Chili's was another one. Just jumped off the bill. Yeah, no, they're ready to do something. This really lines up for them. So, I mean, neither one of these was like hard, I guess, at length of time, sure, but not like a push and pull, like, oh, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, no technical conversations. And then, you know, the Frusciante thing came out of nowhere. It's like my phone vibrates off the island like some random Sunday morning. You know, everybody's like, you knew about this. And you'd love to say yes. But that, again, not the relationship. We're like not on the phone with like Anthony saying, you know, how's it going this Sunday?
Right. That's big to get these two names on the same in the same year.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Then
same show.
Add Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, I mean, that's when everything just completely escalated. We already had Chili's. We already had Foo's. We had 3 or 4 different, you know, scenarios out there, what we're going to do the third headliner. And then this thing comes out of the blue. And you're just like, it is so hard, right? Because you're in your office and you're like, wait a second, right? And then you got your talent budget. This puts your talent budget, you know, sort of in a different, you know, column on the spreadsheet. You got to make 1,000 calls to 1,000 other people, you know, that you work with that have an opinion, and everybody's opinion was like, no, you have to do this. Right. No, I don't. Who cares? You know, call Vince, get a loan. Like,
does the ticket price go up at that point?
There's always like moderate adjustments, but festivals now everything is tiered. You know, so it's right. Like everything start, if you buy super early, you know, it's cheaper, and then it kind of, you know, escalates along the way. So you look at Firefly, Governor's Ball, Us, Lollapalooza, all kind of your mainstream festivals, we all do it the same way. And it's even like the ski industry, right? You buy your Icon pass, you know, in September, it's $600. You buy it in December, it's $900, but it's the same ski slopes.
Right. And then you guys, it doesn't seem like you have a lot of hip hop on this. You started in that genre, and then now it's more 90s rock.
Yeah, it comes and it goes, right? So this is our 11th festival, and you got to pick the best acts that are touring. So if you just look at, this is the fourth one for us at Harvard. And if you look at that, yeah, we've had Eminem, we've had Mumford & Sons, we've had Chance the Rapper, we've had Travis Scott, we've had The Killers. And then this year, yeah, you got three big rock acts across the top. That's just who was around, right? Travis Scott was available, but we had him last year. You know, Chance the Rapper not touring. And then, you know, you kind of look at who's big and who's selling the most amount of tickets. And again, we had a whole different scenario for this Rage Day. And then all of a sudden, you know, Rage comes along. So it's, you know, we look at it every year and, you know, the public, they love to share their opinions with us and we take them all. But, you know, I always give people kind of the same scenario. It's like the record store shop, you know, it's like you make all these whiteboards, right? And you just, you keep crossing them off until the lineup is set. So, yeah, never intentional. You know, we started as a sort of smaller alt indie festival. You know, bands like The National helped us get started and fun at our first festival. And wherever it goes every year is whoever's available.
And when you announced Rage, did you have to increase your security detail? Like some of their fans known to Rage.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, security is a pretty sort of precious thing. Thankfully, you know, we're partners with Madison Square Garden out there, you know, closer to you guys in New York. And, you know, they have things down to a science over there in New York. But no, you front run it, right? You call Harvard, you call, you know, Boston PD, you call I have a security director. You say this is a thing. They haven't toured in forever, right? So there's no actual history, you know, of good or bad. And we're prepared for everything. It would blow your mind the amount of sort of security between private and all the way through your public. And people should feel pretty damn safe at Boston Calling.
I may need a job there, like cleaning garbage cans, if I lose this national anthem back.
Right, like so, half a day maybe. To pay well.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for coming on. I think all week, next week, we're giving away tickets for Boston Calling. So
excellent.
Listen cool. to the morning show.
Yes.
Thank you for those tickets. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Morning.
Excellent. We have lots of things to ask you about, including Roger Waters. But first, we were just talking about pets, and Eric Heckman, the carpenter, spent $500 on a lizard. We had someone call in, spent $400 on a hamster. Can we ask you how much you've spent on your pet, like the most?
$2,000. I bought a dog.
That's a lot.
Right, to buy a dog.
That
right.
is a lot.
How about that's the maintenance, though? Like, you know.
But when you figure out that they last 10, 12 years, it's a couple hundred dollars a year.
Right.
Yeah, balance that. Yeah.
Right.
Everything's math to me.
It's math. How much would you spend if, God forbid, your doggy got sick?
Anything.
Really?
Really?
See?
So Ashley said she would sell her house.
Yep.
So would I.
Really?
He'd sell her house too, yes.
Both of them?
Yes. Anything for my dog.
See?
Wow. I love Jimmy.
You would run your bank account dry.
For my dog, I would. That's all I got. See? My dog. My dog loves me more than anybody. Ask anybody.
Really? Yeah. How many like other... So, you know, I would like smell your butt on the way in. No.
Personally, never ask for tickets. It's great. It's never,
right. Never ask for favors. Right. Never ask for tickets.
Exactly. Right.
Always happy, even when I act like a jerk. He still loves me.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Always yep. greet you when you come home.
He scratches his belly, his leg kicks. Come on.
And I take him to work every day, and he's with me all day. And, you know, he's my pal. He's my number one.
Your companion.
Yeah. I spend everything. If my wife was still alive, I would have spent anything on my wife, my kids. My dog, you know, you know, the things you love.
You would.
In fact, my dog treats me nicer than anybody.
You would completely bankrupt yourself. Like, go live out on the streets.
No. I would not live on the street over it. No, it's very cold today.
Right. So there'd be a line.
There would be a line, yes. It would absolutely be a line. It has to be a line. I do come before my dog.
Right, because if there's no Jimmy, there's no dog food.
Yeah, he can't open the cans.
Right. He doesn't have thumbs.
Exactly.
Can't let himself out.
Right. Needs to be walked.
Right.
He comes a very close second.
All right.
I think Ashley would agree with that.
I feel a little bit better.
You can't put your dog ahead of yourself.
I think she would.
Ashley?
I mean, hopefully it will never get to that point, but I truly would do everything I could, and when I ran out of money, I would call my mother. That's what I would do. Yeah.
Mom's like, thanks for your advance notice.
Well, then I'll call your mother, too. If
right. I don't know. Me, too.
Let's all call our mother.
I'll give you her number.
Okay, good.
All right.
So, Ashley,
yes.
You're in a burning building, and only one of you can get out.
I would do anything I could to go back and save Darby.
Now, you're both
no,
in the
you're
That's
in,
not the question.
It's you or
right.
the dog.
Thank you, Jimmy. You're both in the building, and only one can get out. For some reason, we can make up whatever scenario. There's only time to get one person out. Firefighter there.
I mean, let's hope this never happens.
I know. I agree.
Yeah,
it's a scenario.
Come on, for God's sake. Play along.
I'll go with Darby. Darby can go. And then Eric and Darby could live together forever.
Wow.
No, happily.
That's a dedicated pet owner.
Right. She says
Darby's
that
very lucky to have you.
She says that now.
Can I bring it to work?
I feel bad because I'm not that good with the pets.
Right.
You know, there's a line. Like, if it's me or the dog, I'm going to go out the door.
Hey,
be like, sorry, doggy.
Pick the dog
I
up.
I love you.
Pick the dog up and walk out the door with it.
But
that's
no
not part of
apologize.
The options.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Right.
Yeah. No options. Need to apologize for that. Nobody loves dogs more than me. I have 8 dogs in my office. I've allowed off dogs in my office for close to 15 years now.
Oh, so you're way ahead of this.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I live for dogs. I live for my dog. My dog's it. But you have to put yourself first in life. That's important.
Right.
In a life or death situation, you got to put yourself first.
All right, good. I feel better now.
My dog wouldn't be happy without me.
How do you know?
Oh, boy.
I'm just curious. I'm curious.
That was AJ, by the way.
I'm curious.
What did he say? It's you.
I said, I love you, man.
You said, my dog wouldn't be happy without me. And AJ said, how do you know?
It's true. You don't really know anything. AJ, you were about to be put in my will. Now you're out.
Oh. Right. Yeah, good luck seeing any shows this summer.
I'll take a spot.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation concert guy, wants to retract the statement because Jack was in a room with him.
Oh.
What a mistake I made.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm retracting it. Jack, I will definitely look for you forever in a house fire and try to find you.
See?
Good.
Jack's right there looking at him as he's on the radio talking about
snarling.
Jimmy, I do not need more attitude than I get it generally, so I don't want any from him.
Roger Waters announced some dates. Connecticut not on the list.
Nope, not on the list. Not a Live Nation tour, so nobody can blame me for it, but usually when our competition brings shows in, they don't put Connecticut on the Justin Bieber, same thing, and Roger Waters, same thing. Our competition doesn't seem to like Connecticut as much as we do.
All right, well, screw them then.
Yeah, really?
Huh. How about Sammy Hagar, Whitesnake, Night Ranger?
No plans for them to play Connecticut. I did get a bunch of questions on that. I have reached back out to see if they will play the day after they play Mansfield, which is on August 22nd. I have not heard back from them.
Let's see. Mark in the oil truck, Ramstein to Connecticut.
Ramstein.
Isn't there a commercial playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're playing MetLife Stadium, aren't they? Well, you know, when they're running commercials in Connecticut, it means the act isn't playing Connecticut.
Gotcha.
Right.
Again, our competition.
It's a good fun.
Okay. Glenn from Granby, Jethro Tull.
No word on touring, but if they tour, or Ian tours, we will certainly bring him back somewhere. I never miss a chance to bring Jethro Tull to Connecticut.
Glenn also wants to know about his daughter who wants to get into the concert promoting business. Any advice?
Yes. If you go to college, get on the college concert committee, learn marketing, help bring concerts in. Have that on your resume, and that gives you a head start above everybody else.
Oh, that's good.
That's awesome.
Is that what you did?
No, I did it for myself in college. I didn't do it with the concert committee. I tried to, and I said, if I make you a lot of money doing concerts, will you give me a scholarship? And they said, no, we don't do scholarships for that.
Huh.
I said, okay, I'll do it for myself then and pay for college.
Holy smokes.
Right.
That was, well, you know what? You were wired to do this business early
because
you knew you weren't going to just go in and make these people money without getting a cut.
A little piece over here. A little piece over here.
That's right.
Yeah.
you know, an Ohio State education. That's all.
Dave Starr, no questions, but says the Connor song from Wizard of Oz. What? What is this?
That was from the show yesterday. We were joking about the Corner song.
Okay.
That was the Carter else. Song, yes.
All right. I didn't know I had to edit these.
Sorry.
when are they going to stop Citibank, American Express, et cetera, from buying tickets early?
Well, I don't think they'll ever stop doing that. Most artists do that. I'm afraid it's – but I will say one thing. If you don't have a Citi card or an American Express card, probably a friend has one. Just use theirs.
Right.
And pay them back. I mean, it's all these pre-sales that go on, and I hate pre-sales. I think I like the old days when everybody had the chance at the same time to buy tickets. I'm old-fashioned. But it's not hard to find out the codes and things like that in pre-sales. 80% of the tickets that get sold by the time the first day of the public on sale ends are sold on pre-sales. So most everybody has a pre-sale now.
The different levels of pre-sale. So how does that go? Fan club, then some sponsor?
And then Live Nation has its own pre-sale. In most cases, if you've ever bought a ticket before, you can go on livenation.com and get a pre-sale number, or they will email you a pre-sale code or something like that.
If you become one of your friends of Jimmy, you join that
club.
It's
a super pre-sale. It's a pre-pre-sale.
Pre-pre-sale. So you beat all these other people out.
Yeah, and you don't have to do a darn thing. You just email back what you want.
Right. So easy. That seems to be the way to go.
Then so easy.
Through the course of the year, you'll get more than your money in free tickets.
No question about it. No question about it. It is absolutely, and because we offer so many tickets, you can usually share a membership.
Well, there you go, Sharon.
That works.
What's on the line here? Kate in Oakville, Scorpions.
Have not heard about them coming back around, but if they do, we're going to try to get a Mohegan Sun date.
Tony in Brantford, Bad Company canceled twice in Atlantic City. Is everything okay?
Boy, I didn't know that. I hope so. Uh-oh. I did not hear that at all.
Are they scheduled to come around here?
No, no Connecticut date planned.
Okay.
Yeah, bad cold is a bad cold.
What are you saying? Bad company?
No.
Okay.
Bad company has a bad cold.
Okay, then.
That joke failed.
I wanted to let it sit out there like a bottle of wine and just see if it got better.
Seemed like a no-brainer.
Got some breath. Did you watch Aerosmith on the Grammys, and what did you think?
I did not actually see Aerosmith on the Grammys. I ended up turning it off because I'm afraid most of the new music they play on there is just not my cup of tea. So I ended up watching something else.
Well,
I watched some of the Grammys.
The Aerosmith, in my opinion, horrible, but the internet agreed. Like they, I think they screwed up any opportunity of being on live television again.
Really?
Yeah, wow. not great.
P.U.
The Kobe Bryant helicopter crash. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan died in a helicopter crash. Was he scheduled to come to Connecticut when that happened?
No, he wasn't. Skinnerd, when they died on a plane crash, we put our tickets on sale that very day that the plane crashed.
Oh.
But no, he was not planning to go. I don't find helicopters particularly dangerous unless you're flying in a mountainous area in the fog, like
right.
he was.
Right.
But that's like closing your eyes and walking across the street and saying crossing a street is dangerous.
Right.
And I've flown on helicopters, and my daughter doesn't want me flying on helicopters. My late wife didn't want me flying on helicopters. My girlfriend doesn't want me flying on helicopters. I probably have retired from flying on helicopters, but, boy, they sure are convenient and easy. But my real thought was, if you want to take your own life in your hands, that's your choice. But I hate the fact that there were kids on that helicopter and
right.
parents.
Right.
And I don't know why one of the parents said, you know, it's way too foggy. And we're just going to a eighth grade basketball game.
Yeah.
Let's just put the helicopter down and take a car like every normal human being might be taking.
Right.
I found it from a parental standpoint terrible.
Bad decision,
terrible.
Yep.
Bill from Milford wants to know about Motley Crue, how early to arrive at the stadium, how long the concert will actually be.
They're telling us the concert will start around 4:30 in the afternoon is the plan now, and it'll end at 11 o'clock at night. So you're looking at about 6.5 hours of music. So I can't tell you what time to get to there because I don't know what the traffic would be like, but most of the places are selling out. I don't know if it's Fenway, MetLife, where the person's going, but it's about 6 to 6.5 hours of music.
Holy crap.
Wow.
And Super Bowl, who do you like?
I'm an AFC fan, being a Jets fan, so I'm rooting for Kansas City.
Yeah.
You're a Jet fan, right?
I am a Jets fan. I've been to their only Super Bowl. And I was so young that WPLR was not even a rock station where I went.
That's how long ago it was. Yep.
Not even radio back then. Who knows how long ago it was. But, yeah, when I walked out, I was actually at the Super Bowl, and I walked out, and it was great. And I never thought in my life that I would be 70. I was 19 at the time. That I'd be 70 and never see them in a Super Bowl again.
And you met Joe Namath or went in with the team or flew with the team?
Yes. My dad worked for the Jets. He was the dentist for the Jets, and he would fly with the Jets to away games. And I flew to Cleveland once, and I flew back on the plane with the Jets that flew back from Miami for the Super Bowl. And it was quite a festive airplane ride, I must say, because it was a real surprise that the Jets won. And so, yes, I've got a white shoe signed by Joe Namath, and I'm still a big Jets fan. It's, you know, that's how it is. You know, if you're a Red Sox fan, finally in 2004, it worked out for you. I'm a Yankee fan, so it's...
Well, if and when they finally win, you'll be able to say I was a fan the whole time.
Yep, no bandwagon road, yep.
That's right.
Yes, and but it might have to be on my gravestone. But I do have something on my gravestone. I have decided what I'm putting on my gravestone.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's going to say, sorry, but your tickets are down here with me.
There you go. Big concert announcement.
Right.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.